The following is a review of economics principles and is designed to address the learning outcome statement set forth by the CFA Institute. It is also covered in Understanding Business Cycles. Our first LOS here is to describe the business cycle and its phases. The business cycle is characterized by fluctuations in economic activity. Real gross domestic product, or GDP, and the rate of unemployment are the key variables used to determine the current phase of the cycle. The business cycle has four phases: expansion, when real GDP is increasing; peak, when real GDP stops increasing and begins decreasing; contraction or recession, when real GDP is decreasing; and trough, when real GDP stops decreasing and begins increasing. An expansion features growth in most sectors of the economy, with increasing employment, consumer spending, and business investment. As an expansion approaches its peak, the rates of increase in spending, investment, and employment slow, but remains positive while inflation accelerates. A contraction or recession is associated with declines in most sectors, with inflation typically decreasing. When the contraction reaches a trough and the economy begins a new expansion or recovery, economic growth becomes positive again and inflation is typically moderate, but employment growth may not start to increase until the expansion has taken hold convincingly. A common rule of thumb is to consider two consecutive quarters of growth in real GDP as the beginning of an expansion, and two consecutive quarters of declining real GDP as indicating the beginning of a contraction. Statistical agencies that date expansions and recessions, such as the National Bureau of Economic Research in the United States, look at a wider variety of economic data such as employment, industrial production, and real personal income to identify turning points in the business cycle. A key aspect of business cycles is that they recur, but they do not recur at regular intervals. Past business cycles have been as short as a year or longer than a decade. The idea of a business cycle applies to economies that consist mainly of businesses. For economies that are mostly subsistence agriculture or dominated by state planning, fluctuations in activity are not really business cycles in the sense we are discussing here. The next LOS is to describe how resource use, housing sector activity, and external trade sector activity vary as an economy moves through the business cycle. First, we will look at resource use fluctuation. Inventories are an important business cycle indicator. Firms try to keep enough inventory on hand to meet sales demand, but do not want to keep too much of their capital tied up in inventory. As a result, the ratio of inventory to sales in many industries tends toward a normal level in times of steady economic growth. When an expansion is approaching its peak, sales growth begins to slow and unsold inventories accumulate. This can be seen in an increase in the inventory-to-sales ratio above its normal level. Firms respond to an unplanned increase in inventory by reducing production, which is one of the causes of the subsequent contraction in the economy. An increase in inventories is counted in the GDP statistics as economic output, whether the increase is planned or unplanned. An analyst who looks only at GDP growth rather than the inventory-to-sales ratio might see economic strength rather than the beginning of weakness. The opposite occurs when a contraction reaches its trough. Having reduced their production levels to adjust for lower sales demand, firms find their inventories becoming depleted more quickly once sales growth begins to accelerate. This causes the inventory-to-sales ratio to decrease below its normal level. To meet the increase in demand, firms will increase output and the inventory-to-sales ratio will increase toward normal levels. One of the ways firms react to fluctuations in business activity is by adjusting their utilization of labor and physical capital. adding and subtracting workers in lockstep with changes in economic growth would be costly for firms in terms of both direct expenses and the damage it would do to employee morale and loyalty. Instead, firms typically begin by changing how they utilize their current workers, producing less or more output per hour, or adjusting the hours they work by adding or removing overtime. Only when an expansion or contraction appears likely to persist will they hire or lay off workers. Similarly, because it is costly to adjust production levels by frequently buying and selling plant and equipment, firms first adjust their production levels by using their existing physical capital more or less intensively. As an expansion persists, firms will increase their production capacity by investing more in plant and equipment. During contractions, however, firms will not necessarily sell plant and equipment outright. They can reduce their physical capacity by spending less on maintenance or by delaying the replacement of equipment that is near the end of its useful life. Next, we will examine the housing sector. Although the housing sector is a small part of the economy relative to overall consumer spending, cyclical swings in activity in the housing market can be large, so that the effect on overall economic activity is greater than it otherwise would be. Important determinants of the level of economic activity in the housing sector are mortgage rates, housing costs relative to income, speculative activity, and demographic factors. Low interest rates tend to increase home buying and construction, while high interest rates tend to reduce home buying and construction. When incomes are cyclically high relative to home costs, including mortgage financing costs, home buying and construction tend to increase. And when incomes are cyclically low relative to home costs, including mortgage financing costs, home buying and construction tend to decrease. Housing activity can decrease even when incomes are rising late in a cycle if home prices are rising faster than incomes, leading to decreases in purchase and construction activity in the housing sector. As we saw in the housing sector in 2007 and 2008 in many economies, rising home prices can lead to purchases based on expectations of further gains. Higher prices led to more construction and eventually excess building. This resulted in falling prices that decreased or eliminated speculative demand and led to dramatic decreases in housing activity overall. The proportion of the population in the 25 to 40-year-old segment is positively related to activity in the housing sector because these are the ages of greatest household formation. In China, a strong population shift from rural areas to cities as manufacturing activity has grown has required large increases in construction of new housing to accommodate those needs. Now we turn to the external trade sector. The most important factors determining the level of a country's imports and exports are domestic GDP growth, GDP growth of trading partners, and currency exchange rates. Increasing growth of domestic GDP leads to increases in imports of foreign goods, while decreasing domestic GDP growth reduces imports. Exports depend on the growth rates of GDP of other economies, especially those of important trading partners. Increasing foreign incomes increase domestic exports to foreigners, and decreasing economic growth in foreign countries decreases domestic exports. An increase in the value of a country's currency makes its goods more expensive to foreign buyers and foreign goods less expensive to domestic buyers, which tends to decrease exports and increase imports. A decrease in the value of a country's currency has the opposite effect, increasing exports and decreasing imports. Currencies affect import and export volumes over time in response to persistent trends in foreign exchange rates, rather than in response to short-term changes, which can be quite volatile. Currency effects can differ in direction from GDP growth effects and change in response to a complex set of variables. the effects of changes in GDP levels and growth rates are more direct and immediate. The next LOS asks us to describe theories of the business cycle. The causes of business cycles are a subject of considerable debate among economists. Neoclassical school economists believe shifts in both aggregate demand and aggregate supply are primarily driven by changes in technology over time. They also believe that the economy has a strong tendency toward full employment equilibrium as recession puts downward pressure on the money wage rate, or as overfull employment puts upward pressure on the money wage rate. They conclude that business cycles result from temporary deviations from long-run equilibrium. The Great Depression of the 1930s did not support the beliefs of the neoclassical economists. The economy in the United States operated significantly below its full employment level for many years. Additionally, business cycles in general have been more severe and more prolonged than the neoclassical model would suggest. British economist John Maynard Keynes attempted to explain the Depression and the nature of business cycles. He provided policy recommendations for moving the economy toward full employment GDP and reducing the severity and duration of business cycles. Keynes believed that shifts in aggregate demand due to changes in expectations were the primary cause of business cycles. Keynesian school economists believe these fluctuations are primarily due to swings in the level of optimism of those who run businesses. They overinvest and overproduce when they are too optimistic about future growth in potential GDP, and they underinvest and underproduce when they are too pessimistic or fearful about the future growth in potential GDP. Keynesians argue that wages are downward sticky, reducing the ability of a decrease in money wages to increase short-run aggregate supply and move the economy from recession or depression back toward full employment. The policy prescription of Keynesian economists is to directly increase aggregate demand through monetary policy by increasing the money supply, or through fiscal policy by increasing government spending, decreasing taxes, or both. The new Keynesian school added the assertion that the prices of productive inputs other than labor are also downward sticky, presenting additional barriers to the restoration of full employment equilibrium. A third view of macroeconomic equilibrium is that held by the monetarist school. Monetarists believe the variations in aggregate demand that cause business cycles are due to variations in the growth of the money supply, likely from inappropriate decisions by the monetary authorities. Monetarists believe that recessions can be caused by external shocks or by inappropriate decreases in the money supply. They suggest that to keep aggregate demand stable and growing, the central bank should follow a policy of steady and predictable increases in the money supply. Economists of the Austrian school believe business cycles are caused by government intervention in the economy. When policymakers force interest rates down to artificially low levels, firms invest too much capital in long-term and speculative lines of production compared to actual consumer demand. When these investments turn out poorly, firms must decrease output in those lines, which causes a contraction. New classical school economists introduced real business cycle theory. Real business cycle theory emphasizes the effect of real economic variables, such as changes in technology and external shocks, as opposed to monetary variables as the cause of business cycles. Real business cycle theory applies utility theory to macroeconomics. Based on a model in which individuals and firms maximize expected utility, new classical economists argue that policymakers should not try to counteract business cycles because expansions and contractions are efficient market responses to real external shocks.